This episode of the Free Lunch Podcast is brought to you by the Selma Project, an initiative created to infuse hope and inspiration into the youth of Selma, Alabama through culture, art, and entertainment. This initiative calls on friends of the Selma movement to use their gifts and talents to pave a road of success for future generations. Check them out, selmaproject.com, and brought to you by faithful listeners everywhere. And now to the show, welcome to the New South Movement.
Ladies and gentlemen, a classic. A classic. A classic.
Bismillah. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Yeah, I chose the path chose me. It's the Lord's plan, divine decree. Natural high, window sheet, upper parallel view, let the ghetto see. BK, and OLA, OMF, GLT, amazing grace.
What's the Free Lunch Podcast, home of the New South Movement. I got my man B Jeezy with me. B Jeezy, I'm way up. I feel blessed. What's happening?
Hey man, you stole my intro. That's what I was gonna do. What's happening? Free Lunch Podcast. We back up in it.
You was not finna do that intro.
I really would, dog. That really was gonna be my intro today. I've been singing it all morning.
Oh, well, yeah, I feel. Hey, man, can I congratulate you, man? Congratulations.
For what?
Man, I see it on IG, man. You just had a little one, man. You had a little boy, a little girl.
Well, technically, I didn't have it. That's my cousin slash nephew. My big cousin slash big sister had a baby a few days ago. Shout out to Cass. So I know that people had their own assumptions about the picture, but know that it's not. I am not the pap.
I thought I was like, man, BG ain't told me something because you was holding the little man. What is little boy, right?
It's a little boy.
You was holding the little man like that was your firstborn. So I was like, man, BG, congrats.
I'm a natural when it come down to them fatherly instincts, but no, that ain't my baby. It ain't my time yet. But we happy though, as a family, we happy, baby. Healthy, strong, no complications with the pregnancy or delivery. So we blessed, man. It's a beautiful thing for sure.
Okay, cool, man. Congratulations to Carmen and to your cousin and to your family for bringing in the new little one. But we promised the people on this second go round in this second new year, we'll continue to bring inspiring stories. We'll continue to bring, change the dialogue and change the conversation, but more importantly, we're going to continue to empower friends in the circle, friends of the Free Lunch Podcast, continue to build our network, and today's episode is no different, BG, no different at all.
I believe that. I'm excited about this one and just talking and prepping for this particular episode. I'm ecstatic about what we're bringing, man, and talking to people in the street, that are listening to the podcast. People seem to be getting something from it, and there's just this energy that seems to be coming our way about people getting motivated to tell their stories. People are seeking perspective and are thinking on a higher plane. So I'm just excited about where we're going and the guests that we have coming on this show now.
So we spoke about it and we talked about it that we want to continue to empower our circle. We want to continue to encourage individuals to live out their purpose and their calling, whatever way that may be. And today is no different. I got the privilege to introduce a close friend, one of my closest friends in this area, more like a brother figure. I would say he is probably one of the best writers that I know, hands down. Just his ability to really use words and be a wordsmith and put different pieces of poetry or different pieces of work together. And he's going to be I hope he would be more of a frequent contributor to the blog. And even with this piece that we're going to be discussing today is one that he composed that I think really speaks around some of the internal battles and struggles we all face. He just has the ability to put it on paper in a way that no one else can. And so no further ado, I'd like to introduce the close friend, soon to be father, got a little one with a wingspan that the doctor say the wingspan of this little joker that's going to be born is one of Kevin Durant's size. So maybe a future NBA Hall of Famer, but he also loves the game, the NBA game. But I'd like to introduce Bill to the Free Lunch Podcast family. What's going on, Bill?
Man, I'm doing all right, Brother Tight, man. I appreciate y'all having me on here today, man. I feel blessed too.
Bill, that piece that y'all going to be getting, Free Lunch Podcast family, it's something serious. It was my story. I'm reading it like, damn, man, I ain't the only one that feel like this. So I concur with Tight on that writing ability, and you're going to be seeing a lot more of it. What's happening, Bill?
I appreciate y'all having me. I mean, I feel humble, man, that y'all even, you know, would have me on here like this, man. I consider myself kind of a rookie when it comes to this writing thing, man. I just, you know, something I always enjoy doing. But, man, love to hear that y'all getting something out of it, man. And you know, hopefully anybody that's reading it gets a little something out of it. So, you know, I'm just happy to be here, man.
So, BG, just to give you a nice intro to who Bill is and what he enjoys doing, he's an avid basketball fan, loves the NBA, loves to watch the games, loves UNC, hates the Duke Blue Devils. But I was watching the NBA Summer League yesterday. Have you seen any of the games, Bill?
I haven't been catching Summer League yet, no.
So I watched the NBA Summer League yesterday. You know, they had the Harrison Twins playing. But something caught my attention, BG and Bill. Mm-hmm. It was the voice of one commentator. Greg Anthony.
What was it about Greg Anthony that caught your attention?
Greg Anthony is back on the microphone.
Yeah, Greg had some little trials and tribulations there for a minute, but he's back, huh?
He's back. And Greg Anthony is back on the microphone. But what's so funny about that is that, you know, he had his challenges, and his challenges actually occurred here in the D.C. in D.C. And it was literally down the street from one of the building locations that Bill works in and that I used to work in. So it kind of rings a bell with you.
But for everybody that don't know, he was soliciting that poom poom.
Well, Greg, he feels blessed.
It's hard out here for a pimp, baby.
So I guess he done dealt with his transgressions, and NBA TV and TNT have welcomed him back.
Hey, you know, if Marv Albert can come back, I think Greg Anthony should be able to. You know what I'm saying? So
also along the same line with Bill being an avid writer, what I think is one of his best pieces, and I kind of want him to kind of talk about it if he don't mind. But we had the privilege of this was back in when they had the Summer Olympics. Was that 2 years ago? Summer Olympics. It had to be. Was it
2012? Right.
Yeah. So the 2012 Summer Olympics, NBA, the NBA team, the men's basketball team was doing some exhibition games. One of the exhibition games was here in D.C. at the Verizon Center, and they were playing Brazil. What's the guy named play for Cleveland? Vera Jai.
Yeah.
Vera Jai was playing. Was Nene playing on that team too?
I think so.
Yeah, Nene should have been playing on that team too. Vera Jai, Nene, and those guys were all playing on that team. And Bill and I had the privilege of we purchased some tickets. We went to the game to see Kobe, Carmelo, KD, and LeBron, it was at that point that I realized he was a man amongst boys, because even in that level of competition, he stood out easily. But point being was we were welcome to have the President of the United States, POTUS, and the First Lady of the United States to join us and to sit courtside and enjoy the basketball game. But that was a segment during the basketball game where you all know that they do the kiss cam or what have you. And so they actually put the camera on the president and the first lady to essentially do the kiss cam. And the president got denied. He was denied a kiss from from his bride. And brother Bill was so caught up in the moment that he wrote a piece about it. I'm going to let him kind of talk about it here in a minute. But when I tell you, that had to be one of the greatest pieces I've ever read. And that was, so funny was because we saw that happen live. Bill saw how important that was. The next day, it was on PTI. And it was, and it made the rounds of ESPN and these different sports shows. It made the rounds. But Bill, again, having that eye for art and having that eye for literacy and literature and composing, he wrote a piece about it. But I'm going to give Bill a minute to kind of talk about that piece and give his evaluation of what he saw.
Man, it was just so funny, man, just watching it happen live, because everybody in the Verizon Center, like, you know, they put the kiss cam on him, and then, you know, the president leans in, you know, try to get him a kiss, and Michelle just turned the other cheek. She just turned away. And everybody in the home, they're like, oh, like, what you doing? Like Michelle, how you going to do that? And they had to go back to him, I believe, like one or two more times until she finally gave in. And, you know, on the surface, it was like, that didn't seem like, you know, too big a deal. But I'm sitting there like, wait a minute now. Like, you know what this is, Michelle. Like, you know what you signed up for. Like, you know there are going to be moments like this when you're going to be in the public eye. And you're going to have to, you know, play the part, so to speak. You know, even if you're not right, like a big fan of, you know, public displays of affection or whatever, I'm like, you got to take one for the team on this one. So it was kind of a, you know, humorous take on that, man, just how she kind of put the country and the world at risk, you know. You can't have the most powerful man in the world be denied like that in front of everybody in the Verizon Center and on national TV. You know, that's a national security threat right there.
She must have had an attitude that day, because usually they are known for, you know, those public displays of affection. So something must have been going on in the White House.
Hey, man, something must have been going on. I don't know what it was, but it took a while for her to finally warm up to it, man. So
she had that frown on her face?
She had a little frown. She was like,
uh-oh.
He was in the doghouse.
Hey, man, even in the White House, you can be in the doghouse. That's what that
for sure.
building like that at all. I'm telling you, dude, that was the highlight of the entire that evening was simply because he had saw that. But that's just I bring that up because I think that's the genius of Dwight. And not only does he have that ability to write, and as we continue along these lines of encouraging our friends and empowering them, you know, I really enjoyed that piece, and really was just something that I thought was just brilliant when he composed it. And so, BG, I'm actually going to send it your way when I can find it, get a hold of it, so that you can read it, because it was pretty entertaining.
All right, sounds good. What's the title of it?
I don't even think I had it. You know, it was just one of them things. I was at work, not working, and I was like, man, you know what? Like, I ain't even feeling. It's one of them days, and it's kind of segueing to what we're going to talk about. It's one of them days I wasn't really feeling it. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't focus on, you know, whatever I was supposed to be doing, so I said, well, let me just, this thing is just kind of on my mind, so let me write about it. So I literally just, I don't even think I gave it the title, BG. I just kind of was writing what I was feeling and then just sent it out. And, but yeah, hopefully, yeah, we can, I'm pretty sure I can find, I'll send it your way, man. But, yeah, it was just something that was on my heart, man. So
let's just jump right into the piece that you wrote for the podcast. And I don't even think we titled that one yet. Did you title it?
I didn't. I ain't giving no title. No, that's something, and a lot of this stuff I've been doing has been so kind of informal and just almost more like an entry from a journal or something, you know, that's something I guess I got to kind of start doing is really kind of giving it a title or kind of, you know, a focus. But, yeah, and this is a conversation I know that like, you and me have a whole lot, man, just talking about kind of where we are in life and how we feeling about stuff. And BG sound like that's something that's on your heart too, man. So basically, that's all I was doing with this last piece I wrote, was just trying to answer the question. Because on the surface, that seemed like it should be a pretty easy one to do. But when you start considering all the different factors that come into being an adult and kind of living life, it kind of it's not as cut and dry as it might seem, which, you know, I think is unfortunate. And maybe even it's just a byproduct of this this system that we live in and that we're a part of. I don't think it has to be like that. You know what I'm saying? And I think it was interesting, B, that you said when you read it, you felt like I was telling your story, which I found very interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of what comes from using that platform, the writing, and sharing your testimony, and what will usually come out of it is that it is an expression of what's going on and the commonalities that we share. You know, we're similar age, going through the similar things in career world, professionally, in our family relationships. And the story that you were writing about was just about answering the question of, you know, am I happy? And I think for most of us at this stage in our lives, we are forced to address that question and define what happiness really is to us. And so when I was going through there and you were just talking about those different elements, it was like, am I happy? And we'll get more into the piece, but you know, that's the strength in having your testimony and sharing your testimony, because you'll speak those words and they'll be your words specifically going out, but it'll touch someone else because you're having these shared experiences.
So let's ask the question. Bill, you start off with the question, should I be happy? And then you follow that up with, am I happy? So I pose those questions to you. Should I be happy? And are you happy?
So I guess I'll start with the last question first. I'd say, yes, I am. I'd say overall. And it's interesting because I think there's a lot of things that go into that formula that I kind of alluded to in that piece. But overall, I'd say just kind of where I am in life, you know, and with my family situation, you mentioned kind of having, you know, my wife and a little one on the way. You know, that's a type of joy that's very, I mean, it's unique. And I compare, you know, kind of happiness as a child versus being an adult. This is certainly one of those adult kind of happinesses and joy that you can really only have, you know, at this point in your life. But I guess the other point, should I be happy? That kind of speaks to almost this notion that there's like a checklist almost of certain criteria we have to hit as you know, adults in order to be happy / successful. And, you know, I've checked off a lot of those boxes, I guess you'd say, in theory, but at the same time, there's still a certain something that's missing in my life. I'd say that in terms of getting it on like a day-to-day basis and opportunities like this to speak on this podcast and to rap with y'all, it actually fills a void. And I'm sure y'all can talk a little bit more about kind of how this experience and what y'all have been able to do now for what, like right at a year, over a year, I think at this point, y'all close to it. What that has done for y'all's lives and what it's added to your happiness equation. So I guess the short answer is yes, I am. I guess yes, I should, but I think there's another level to it, and I know y'all probably got some thoughts on that too.
I think BG, you summarized it very well, is that I think we're all in that similar boat, and this is a conversation that Bill and I have, BG, frequently actually. And it's frequent because we even talk about this whole idea of how we're making life decisions at 18 and 19 when we're forced and when we go to college that are going to affect our entire life, you know. And Bill kind of talks about that in his piece when he talks about the formula or the blueprint that was given to him from his family and from friends, that essentially was, you know, you go to school, you graduate, you get a good job, and then you find that perfect career. And those decisions are essentially being made at 18 and 19. And by the time we get the mental competency to really think this thing out and understand what it is we're called to do and what our purpose is, that's almost 13 years later. And so now you 13 years done invested your time into doing something that was given to you because, of course, it was told because that was something that you might have been good at, or because your loved ones wanted you to have a better career or have better options than they had. And so at that young 18 to 22, 23 years of age, you're gullible, you're open, you don't really know, but then you're making decisions that are going to affect you for the remainder of your career. And that's what I kind of want to dig into, and what I really captured from the article that Bill wrote is, number one, we're all in the same boat, because if we could read that article and kind of connect, have a connection to it, it provides authenticity, which at the core being of who we are, we're authentic individuals, and we're going to connect like magnets when something is being told to us that's authentic. And number two is that we're going through something similar. Even though our journeys are different, it's still along those same lines of what our other brethren are going through.
The timing of this is real funny, because I'm reading The Souls of Black Folk by W.E.B. Boyd, and he has a section there where he talks about the social construct and how we're guided into associating success or happiness with success financially and professionally. It's typically how that goes. So we don't really define happiness without including, you know, what I've been able to obtain or the acclaim that I've gained through my, you know, professional endeavors. And I think the void comes in is that missing piece of being a whole man, being in touch with having these spiritual and these psychological gains. And you asked the question, Bill, or you made the statement about, you know, what this podcast means to us and how it fills that void, is it gives us an opportunity to, you know, step into an uncomfortable zone and grow psychologically and spiritually, because we're having to touch on these issues and we're having to express our thoughts and opinions in such a way on such a platform that is judged by so many people. And so there's a growth of getting that confidence and that courage that makes you more of a complete individual, in addition to those things that you gain that are more material or surface level things. This is what we're dealing with, and I think it's just a part of our maturation process that we're getting to this point where we have these responsibilities and we're actually being called to be leaders. So now we're having to make this decision and kind of prioritize and identify, you know, what our real purpose is and how we're going to get there.
Another thing of this whole concept I was thinking about is, you know, we got, when I say we, I'm just speaking general terms, you know, Generation X, you know, those who are, you know, around our age right now, it's like we received kind of a general message and guidance along the way in terms of what we're supposed to be doing, right? You go out and you get a good job, right? Something that gives you good benefits and going to give you security and stuff. And, I mean, even from the time that we went to undergrad till now, the entire landscape has changed. So it's like the goalpost keeps moving, not only for what happiness is, but for what success is as well. So now you have this knowledge you didn't have before, but you can't go back and change anything. So I think there's an emotional component here, at least for me, where it's like you feel a frustration and almost like an anger. It's like, man, if I had known this before, like, you know, this is the way it really is. But then I'm also like, well, who you mad at? Like, because your parents, they're telling you what they think is best for you. And, you know, you got teachers doing that same thing. So now it's kind of like you have to pivot, you know, midway in this whole journey to try to find something that, you know, potentially, you know, you could have had along the way if you had listened to the, I guess, the passion / you know, freedom kind of voice that's in your head. And we've talked about that as well. And so I think it's interesting, one, that you say how it resonates you from that perspective, that we're trying to become a more complete, you know, man as we go along this journey. And then I think also is when you see how many other people are going through this with you, it also does something. This kind of makes you kind of reconsider like how we're doing this, like how, like as a society, the doing this stuff is like, it's not the right formula. Like, it's not the right way. If it's you saying it, BG, and it's Ty saying to me, then something's going on here. And I want, how do we kind of make a change, you know what I'm saying, from almost just the way that we live to try to make things better?
I think that's the question. And you kind of, Bill, you're really taking us in the direction that I wanted this conversation to go, is because I think the point, Bill, that you're making, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the system is broken. If we're making these decisions that are essentially life decisions at the age of 18 to 23, when we don't have the knowledge that we gain when we're in our early to mid 30s. How do we reverse the system such that we have the knowledge of a mid 30 to 35 year old to make those to make the right decision at 18 to 22? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean that's and I mean as we keep the dialogue going, this keeps, you know, bringing up new things in my mind. It's like just the way it's structured is like we're being asked to make a decision, like which cog in the wheel do we want to be? You know what I'm saying? Like which you know part of this puzzle are we going to play versus how do we grow and become our best selves? You know what I mean? Like at the concept of nurturing your individuality really isn't, I don't think, celebrated or focused on as much. And it's really more of how do we fit into this system, because the system is seen as being the end all be all. And it's a conflict, right? I mean, and that's one of the things I allude to in the piece was, you know, there's part of you that's saying, well, you know, things could be a lot worse. You know, we look at where we are. It's like, well, you know, we could be, you know, if we're not gainfully employed, right, what would that look like? Or, you know, if we went down in the wrong path, you know what I'm saying, and had to, you know, go through the whole, you know, criminal justice system and kind of do our bid there, whatever, what would that look like? So on the one hand, you're grateful for where you are, but on the other hand, it's like you're still reaching for and wanting more. And this isn't this. I don't think, you know, just a 9 to 5, get up, do your thing, come back home is the pinnacle of what our existence should be. And BJ, I don't know. I know you kind of were alluding to this a little bit earlier, but you know, it's kind of like how do you escape the grind, because the grind is like, you know, constantly going. You know, like that's one thing you have to get up. You got to go to work because you got to pay your bills. Because you know you got to keep stay in your home. You got to do all that. So how do you do both? You know, how do you kind of maintain your livelihood, but then also chase that passion and those other things that make you a complete person?
We've been conditioned to make, once you get to that point corporately or that position in employment, that's the end of it. And you used a very interesting word. You said the pivot. We don't make room for that pivot that you've gone this way and you've mapped it out and you've made it to this destination. Now make room for the pivot to take all those experiences that you've gained up to that point and pivot and use those things to power your passion. I think we hit that dead end and we stay in that lane, and grind is not going anywhere. Those responsibilities are not going anywhere, but you can still find that way to make that pivot and then incorporate or discover or find your passions and your purpose in that next phase of your life. And that part is the part where the risks do come in, the sacrifices do make themselves available. And then, of course, you're not probably going to get out of line of popular opinion. And, you know, we talked about this in previous podcasts, is when you start going down that road of fulfilling your purpose, that it might not be well received by people on the outside who really don't understand what's going on with you on the inside. So I think in the next phase, and it's good that we had these conversations amongst each other, is that being courageous enough to make that pivot and to make room for that flexibility. You don't have to just stop that. If you've got some other things that are speaking to you, explore them. And then if they don't turn out to be what you want them to be, explore something else and get the most out of your life and not just live in this box that we talk
about. Bill, I got a question for you. You wrote a piece, or in the piece that you wrote, you wrote a line that said, "I think a part of me is dead inside." Can you elaborate on that line and really just talk about why do you feel that way and what would awaken that dead piece? I think I have an answer of what can help awaken it, but I would like to just get your thoughts on that.
So I consider myself, I guess, on that spectrum of kind of like your personality type and kind of what you're good at. I think of myself as more of a creative type, and so the work that I do now is really on the opposite end of that spectrum. It's very much about a structure that's already in place, a methodology that's tried and true. And, you know, you follow that same kind of path, those same steps, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the issue is. And so I don't really have an opportunity at the job to express my creative side, you know. Even if, you know, I have a chance to do some type of writing, you know, if I'm writing like a proposal or something, there's always a structure already in place for, you know, okay, this section is going to have this, you're going to include this in here. And so it's really, there's no freedom of thought. And that creative, that entrepreneurial spirit that is within me, I don't have a chance to showcase that or to nurture that. You know, music is another passion of mine. I haven't, unfortunately, really played with the group in a while. I used to play, you know, sax in high school, college, and grad school. And then when I started working, you know, that's when it fell off. So my creative juices have not had a chance to really flourish. And I think that's the... That's my strength, and I think that's you know, part of the one of the better parts of me in terms of, you know, being industrious and providing something, you know, from a social standpoint. Like, that's what I, you know, that's my contribution. So, you know, even though what I'm doing now is, you know, it's fulfilling a lot of those basic needs, it's in terms of, you know, being able to pay bills, you know, keep the roof over the head and food on the table and all that, it's not giving me that that energy, that desire to wake up in the morning, you know, to be the kind of person who looks forward to, you know, going to work as opposed to dreading the concept and really just living for the weekend. Cause I don't think that's how we're supposed to live, to be honest with you. But so you say you got some thoughts on that though, huh?
I do. I that's the reason why I asked you, and this has been a long time coming. Even to get this piece on the freelance blog, you, in my opinion, as I mentioned in the opener, are probably one of the best writers that I know from a creative perspective, and just from an all out, just good at what you do, and the passion and the approach that you take in writing. And so, you know, we've talked about this, and I've always wanted to encourage you to even go in that direction. So I feel like if we can find ways to continue to get you to write and to feel that void and to awaken something inside of you, kind of like what the podcast does for BG and I, that's what I think that you'll continue to walk in that spirit and walk in that. In that space where you have what they say, what the people, you know, the most common thing now, it gives me life. Mm-hmm. You know, they go to IHOP, that IHOP gave them life.
Yeah. I'm really having a good time just doing this and even the preparation up to it, man. What's so crazy is I find myself, you know, wanting to stay up till 1-2 in the morning writing this stuff. And a lot of times I just don't have the energy because of, you know, that daily grind thing. So trying to fit both of them into your life is interesting. And I'll kind of also share just kind of one thought and maybe get a reaction. I was reading an article recently about work-life balance. That's like the new thing, you know. What's your work-life balance? Are you achieving it? And the article really said, you know what, there's no such thing as work-life balance. How it's really, you have to find whatever it is that you enjoy and what you're good at and do that. And that trying to become this person that, you know, does all these other activities, you know, you want to be the perfect, you know, husband, or you want to be the perfect father, you want to be the perfect employee, then you also want to, you know, make sure you, I don't know, going to the gym 5 times a week, and you're also doing community service, and you're also, you know, participating with the church. It's like there's all these things that we're supposed to be doing, but the reality is that's not who we are. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have certain things that make us who we are. And BJ, I'd be curious to get your take on, like, how do you deal with that personal work-life balance struggle? And what are your thoughts on that whole thing?
I've kind of grown to take the approach that, you know, my work tour is 8 to 4:30. And so I'm going hard for work from 8 to 4:30. But once 4:31 comes about or 5 o'clock or whatever it is, once I leave the office, like, I'm turning on to something totally different. Like, when I get home, I'm doing nothing related to my career. It, you know, everything else starts to come into play around the podcast and the other things that we have going on, the other things that are more in line to what I would do for free. You know, that passion plays. but I've grown to that place. And like I say, this has been a conduit to increase the confidence to get to that point. And you know, going back to what y'all were talking about earlier, I think that really exemplifies the strength in having a network and a community that's filled with people who are seeking to gain the same type of thing, who are seeking to get to that same place, because we know that iron sharpens iron. And then we, like, for example, this podcast, we create a platform in the blog platform that you can come on whenever you get ready, whenever you have something you want to share, you can present it and it goes out in the masses and you don't have all the pressure of doing everything yourself. So that takes one portion out of it. All you can do is just take the time, however long it takes you to put a piece together, put it together and say, hey, man, I want to put this out with y'all. Can you do that and make it happen? And that way you're getting fulfilled on that level without having to also take on the burden of putting it out and all the other things that come along with it. And so when you have that ability to share your experiences with the other people, not only do you get the motivation, but you also get access to certain resources and things that help push it along.
And that's really what we're trying to empower and do on with Free Lunch Podcast. And again, this is going to be that running and common thing, because even you and I talked about this the other day, BG, was the inspiring pieces and seeing other close friends and family members following in that passion and telling their story and being more creative. How do we reverse that cycle? You got an 18 to 22 year old young person that's finna go to college, essentially following the same model that we followed. Go to school, get good grades, get a good job, live happily ever after. But end up going into a field or going into an area that pays well, that we can do but may not be our passion. How do we take what we know and instill that in that young person so that the decision that they make? Chris Carter made an interesting comment one day on Mike and Mike. He said he's never worked in his life. How many of us can say we never had a job but still be well paid? When you can figure out how to get paid during your hobby or during your passion, that's, to me, is when you're living that full life. And even though the game of football, I'm pretty sure, was challenging to him, it was something that he did for years that, and now, and then he transitions from that to being able to be a commentator on one of the most popular watched Sunday morning shows during the regular football season. And so when you can have that type of life and do those type of things, I think that's when you're having that fulfilled life. So how do we transition, and I guess from the article, because I know, Bill, you wrote that great article that people are going to read. But I think that we still have those questions for the young people. And so how do we transition from that to living a more feel like?
Well, you alluded to it, that most of us don't come from families with loan money and things like that. And, you know, in our community, we're like second generation, maybe even third generation of people who've had the ability to really go out here and I guess maximize the corporate experience. So with that being said, living in the society, capitalistic society that we live in, you got to basically go out and earn a living, make money to support your basic needs. So I think we've been told half the story. We've been told the story of going out and getting a decent job so that you can earn a living. We get that part, but we haven't got the part on how to really live. So I think, and I have a cousin that's actually going through this, that's going into college and has some real, identify some passions as being in communications and journalism and writing stories and doing interviews and things like that. And so, of course, when you make that speech to your parents, they're like, ain't no money in that. But when she came around and I've talked to her and I've just basically tried to incorporate the two, what you want to do is probably look at something that is going to give you a decent living, that's going to give you the benefits or whatever that you want to have. But then, in addition to that, something that will also help you build the skills to power your passion. Since you've identified that, find something that will mesh the two. And you may not be fortunate enough to find one thing that does those, but also to just have both of those necessities in mind. I need to have something that's going to support me, but I also need to speak to my total being and continue to explore and discover my passions and purposes. So really what I'm telling people is just to have more of an integrated approach versus just having that constructed approach of just sticking to the find a good job and then that be the end of it.
No, man, that's a great, I think part of, and I know I'm guilty of this, is when it comes to the whole, you know, pursuing your passion thing, is that you almost don't want there to be any type of structure or integration with it, because it's like you consider your path, or like I consider my passion to be, you know, something that's, you know, almost divinely inspired, and you know, God's purpose has no schedule, right? I mean, you right. can't put any kind of, so it's like, well, I got to be all in with this. I can't even allow myself to even, you know, worry about, you know, this 9-to-5 thing. I have to totally surrender. And I think you see a lot of artists, you know, who kind of have that kind of mentality, is that they're focused on their art. They're not worried about, you know, they're not worried about how they look to their peers. They're not worried about a lot of the financial things. So, you know, they'll fly out to, you know, L.A. to try to become an actor. They'll go to New York or New Orleans, where, you know, the heart of, you know, the music scene or drama scene or whatever it is. And they just throw themselves in it fully. You know, you be a waitress on the side and you just kind of dive into it. And I think that does speak to a level of commitment, which I do admire. But I think your point, BG, is that there are certain economic realities that we have in this life. And until we can get to the point where we're tight talking about where we can change that system, there's really it's the onus is on us to find a way to really try to squeeze that square peg into that round hole, so to speak, which is a tough thing to do.
You finna have a little one, Bill. What are you going to teach your little one in regards to getting that good grade getting that good job, but also living out their purpose?
Well, I'm gonna try to do, I feel, kind of what BG was talking about in terms of the integration piece. And you know, the thing about children is when they're young like that, man, they're like sponges. They pick up on things so quick. I mean, you take a look at some of the most successful, at like a Tiger Woods, for example, before he kind of had, you know, his issues. You know, he was swinging that golf club 2 or 3 years old, you know. The Williams sister, the same thing. You know, that daddy had tennis racket in their hand early. And it's kind of like maybe they were, you know, predestined to be great athletes, but maybe part of it is also the way that they were raised and nurtured. So I think if and I'm going to try to, you know, do my best, try to find something early on that my child is, you know, passionate about and has at least a decent competency with, and then nurture that and grow that, you know, to the point where, you know, he's developing as an individual, but, you know, I don't ever want him to feel as if he's kind of, you know, a prisoner to this thing. You know what I mean? I want him to be getting something out of it. So I want to try to encourage him at an early age to try to find something that he's passionate about, and at the same time do well enough academically to, you know, to not let that be a hindrance. It's tough, though, man. I mean, young people now, man, you know, so much homework and so much, you know, just projects and pressure, and it's like, you know, you can be third, fourth grade, come home, and all you got time to do is, you know, whatever the teacher has assigned for you to do. It's like it's different for, you know, my dad, you know, told me about how they used to have two recesses when they were in school. You know, they go outside in the morning, go outside in the evening. I mean, that's just how it was. And now, man, I mean, if you know, like I got some cousins who are a little bit older, and they're you know, children are, you know, about to graduate high school, going to college. And, man, it's just amazing the level of pressure that's put on these young people to try to be like these super people, man. So I'm nervous from that standpoint. Like hey, by the time he gets out of elementary school, I don't know if I'm going to be able to help him with his homework anymore. You know?
He's going to be burned out.
I'm telling you, man. Like, so I'm nervous about that, man.
I can imagine, and congratulations on that. But yeah, this is where we are, and really, to really sum it up, is us going back to operating as a community and not individuals. And then in our community language, we are building around creating whole, complete individuals, not just, you know, puppets or these machines or robots that are just going down this assembly line, but we're making this world that's full of possibilities and opportunities, some that we consider to be commonly acceptable, and some of those things that we might consider to be out of the box, but making room for all these avenues to be taken advantage of. That's what other communities have been able to prosper off of, is because they don't have as many limits as many boxes. They just go for it. And we got to grow to that point. And that's where our responsibility as 30-somethings and with our age is setting that example, discovering it ourselves. And then when we have our offspring to give them that type of blueprint that keeps them open to so many possibilities.
And we got to continue to have these type of conversations, because these are tangible, real life conversations that are current in our communities and in our families. And these are the exact same struggles that many of our peers are having today. And the problem is that there's no one talking about it. There are no conversations around being a holistic person. And more or less, you have to be one or the other. You're either chasing a career or some type of being some type of partner at some type of firm or what have you, or you this striving artist or what have you, starving artist that lives on this other spectrum. And there needs to be more conversations around identifying what your purpose is and identifying, acknowledging or talking about some of the challenges that we face internally, and figuring out ways to resolve or ways to address those internal questions of like, am I happy, or how do I become happy, or what is my ultimate calling and purpose, you know? And so that's the reason why I see the benefit in this entire podcast, is because it's opening, or it's sparking the conversation around real life tangible questions. And it's not this whole utopia that we see these sorry A politicians discuss. It's not this facade that's being given off by our peers that attend these festivals or go to these different things and give off this persona that they're living life, all this kind of stuff, when you know deep inside there's a deeper question and there's a deeper warning that no one's want. It's almost the elephant in the room that no one wants to address. So those are my thoughts. I let you kind of summarize, Bill, with some of your thoughts, but then also tell us what's next. You know, are you gonna write another piece for the blog? Do you have something in mind?
Well, I mean, I think it's been a great conversation, and I love hearing y'all's perspective on it. It's a complicated solution. I mean, to try to answer this question and try to understand this problem, it's hard to, you know, it's not an easy answer. I think we've touched on a lot of what has to happen in order for us to try to, you know, to get to that level of happiness or self fulfillment or self actualization, you know, whatever you want to call it. In terms of, I guess, the next steps for me, I do want to follow up with kind of how I ended the last one, talking about that passion and freedom thing, and I think the Chris Carter quote is kind of speaks to that perfectly. Is, you know, he's never worked a day in his life, is what, you know, he's saying. And of course, what he's talking about there is the fact that even though he had to put in a lot of work as a, you know, just to get to the National Football League, you know, I mean, just from the Pop Warner days up through, you know, high school, college, it was a labor of love, you know, and there's just a difference in the type of way you feel when you do that work versus when you feel like you're having to do something where you almost feel like a prisoner, so to speak. And I think a lot of people feel that in this, you know, in this I guess society that we live in, so I do want to speak to the passion and freedom piece, and then also really how the dynamic is changing which we didn't talk a lot about today, but just slowly and surely, right? I think with the introduction of certain technology and with social media and just the way that we're able to connect as a community, globally, really, just using technology. I mean, look at this, you know, even the way we got the podcast today, you know, we're able to reach different people and, you know, using this platform. I think it's enabling people with opportunity to do more of that, chasing after their passion and what they want to do. You know, when you have more, I think the technology gives you more opportunity. It gives you more options. And so I think part of the reason we're having this discussion now is because we're kind of looking up at the landscape like, wait a minute, you know, you see, you know, young folk moving out to Silicon Valley and starting these million-dollar companies. You know, a lot of them are younger than we are. They're kind of a part of this new age society. And I feel like we're almost on the tail end of that, the generation in terms of the messages that we've been getting in terms of what we need to do. And now we're starting to see a new kind of, approach maybe to how you master this whole thing called a career and even life. So want to speak on that more and just really excited about just having the conversations, really, because you learn so much when you do that. And like I learned a lot today from listening to you and BG talk, man. So that's really what I'm looking forward to.
And that's what's up. That's what's up. So you want to give a shout out to the people back in Lumberton? You want to give a shout out to any of them N-words out there?
Hey, man.
Even the podcast that your brother does.
Shout out to all of them, man. All my people in North Carolina. And it's fucking tight. He done been around my pops and everything, man. And he's a crazy dude, man. And we always have a good time, man, whenever we get together. So, yeah, shout out to them, man. Shout out to Lumberton. That's where my pops is from and my folks there, man. And, you know, my brother got a podcast he's doing. And he's in the sports thing, man. And that's one thing I will say. And that's kind of why I was speaking about us kind of being the last generation. My brother's about 6 years younger than me. And he's always known from the jump, man, that sports was what he loved to do, you know. He didn't have the physical gifts to be able to, you know, play professionally, but he has a love for the game. So he got his JD at Tulane, has a sports law certificate. He's doing, you know, like the radio show on the weekends, man, and he blogs for fan base websites for like the Panthers, and he's got a whole bunch of stuff going on. So shout out to him, man. He knows what his passion is, and I hope, you know, that his plan for integration, as BG mentioned, man, I hope his works, man, to put together the passion and in addition to just, you know, out here living life, man. So shout out to all of them folks, man.
what about your rib?
Oh, my rib. Yeah, got it. I would not be here were it not for my rib.
You know what to say. You know what to say.
Hey, behind every great man, you know, that's what they say.
Great woman, for sure.
Glory.
You heard that? Glory. Right? Yeah, oh, man.
That's glory.
Yeah.
They say, BG, I watched another episode of James Brown last night.
Uh-huh.
And he described the woman as glory.
Glory.
He said, that's man's glory.
Mm, I take that.
So you got to give a shout out to your glory.
I got to give a shout out to my glory, to my rib, carrying my seed right now.
Hey, BG, how can the people reach us, sir?
Hit us up, freelunchpodcast.com for podcasts and blogs. Also on Twitter, freelunchpodc, and on Instagram, freelunchpodcast.
Bill, thank you for doing the show. We happy to have you on the show. To those listeners that listen to this podcast, go to freelunchpodcast.com. Check out the actual blog entry that Bill wrote. It's one that very, very, very well written, and you'll enjoy the piece. So I feel way up. I feel blessed. Free Lunch Podcast. Hold up.
Let's get it. Let's go. Let it go now. Let's go, let it go now. Let it go, let's get it. The super mathematics, not a problem, no, not for that old.
block, so sign away for that bull rock. Super small, handcrafted art designs, no, they know not. Flow tougher than Chuck Town, blacker than the Gremlin drum line. No overdose, I'm overwoke, I'll be awake for crunch time. Be everywhere like sunshine, I lead right close, punchline. I beat the track, I beat the track, brown paper breakfast, lunchtime, dinner date, dessert tray. Raw it all, flow hungry, you see the sign between the line, it's G's only. No dummies, I flow lovely, they go nutty, they catch a feeling, these hoes touchy. I tell that jump off, no bunch, no awaken, home study. But you're so pretty, best of show. Sometimes the best way to touch it, stand and go. Let's go, let's go, let's get it. Let's go, let it go now. Let it go, let's get it. Get it, got 'em, got 'em. Let's go, let's go, let's get it. Let's go, let it go now. Before I chose the path chose me. This is the Lord's plan, divine decree.